Like, return to the book of John.
Good to see my son and his family here. And appreciate they're here, and we're appreciative of the fact that you're here. We're down in attendance, I think, but we're glad that you're here. John chapter 2, verse 13. The Jewish Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of the money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold the doves, take these things out of here. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Jesus did that here in the beginning of his ministry, and he did that in the end of his ministry, and he said, it's written that my house should be called a house of prayer. So Jesus did this, as I said, at the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry. I want to talk to you today about tolerance. Tolerance today is absolutely a misunderstood concept. To be tolerant does not mean that I approve of you, of what you've chosen to be, or what you've chosen to do. That's not tolerance. I approve of you. What you do, what you say, and what you are. Tolerance does not mean that I am going to celebrate what you do, what you say, and what you are. Cannot celebrate what somebody's lifestyle is that is so contrary to the Word of God. Tolerance does not mean that I affirm you, what you are, what you do, and what you say. I affirm you. It does, however, allow us to approve and celebrate and affirm what people are inherently. What people are inherently. That is, they are yellow-skinned, black-skinned, white-skinned, red-skinned. That we can affirm, we can celebrate, we can be happy about, because that's who they inherently are. I can affirm a left-handed person. I've got children that are left-handed, and I can affirm left-handed people. That doesn't give me any problems at all. I can affirm that you're a female and that I'm a male. But that doesn't mean that we're all the same, and I'm glad we're not all the same. And I can affirm people for what they are inherently, and I can rejoice over that. I've enjoyed being around black people. I've enjoyed being around Scotchmen. I have enjoyed being around Germans. I can affirm and celebrate what a person inherently is, but I cannot affirm certain lifestyles and certain choices that people make or certain things that people say or do. And I'm no more obligated to tolerate and to affirm and celebrate what people choose to do, be, and are than I am to celebrate or affirm a pedophile or someone that practices bestiality or people who engage in pornography or a person that's a sadist or a person that's a masochist. See, I'm not obligated to affirm or celebrate those kind of things. I don't need to do that. And that's a misunderstanding of the concept of tolerance when you think you've got to affirm or celebrate what anybody chooses to do or say or be or whatever lifestyle they choose. I'm not obligated to be tolerant of that particular thing that they may be. Now, tolerant people, however, do allow people the rights of human beings without persecuting them because they're different inherently. It's wrong to be intolerant because of a person's race or their sex or because of their color or because of their accent or things that they kind of are inherently. That's wrong to be prejudiced and bigoted against someone who was born the way they are. And the whole issue comes down on the homosexual area. That's why they want to insist that they are born that way. But evidence has proven over and over and over they are not born that way. They are made that way. They're not made that way. They choose to be that way. And much evidence could be given on that behalf. I don't argue that now. I'm just simply saying that we do not have to tolerate, and tolerate does not mean affirm, celebrate the person who has a lifestyle that is contrary to the scriptures, whether it's man with man, woman with woman, or man with woman in an illicit relationship. We do not have to be tolerant. But we do have to allow people to have their basic rights as human beings. We can affirm their humanity, but we don't have to affirm what they do, say, or think. But on the contrary, a tolerant person is a person that allows other people to disagree with them. You don't have to disagree, rather agree with everybody. You're not intolerant if you don't agree with people. As I've said many times to you, one of the most important things I ever say to you is, I am not my idea. And you are not your idea. You are you and I'm me. And you may hate my idea, but love me. And I may hate your idea and love you. To hate a concept, to hate an idea, to hate an idea or a way of thinking or a doctrine or a faith is not to hate the person who has that faith. And the most important thing you can do in your life is to understand, in my opinion, that a person's idea or concepts is not them. That is totally different than them. You can affirm them as a human being. You can say they have the right to have a job, but that doesn't mean that they may not have to change some of their actions to get that job. In California, there's a $150,000 fine to any employer who refuses to hire a cross-dresser. That will come into the church. Without trial, if an employer refuses to hire a cross-dresser, a man who dresses like a woman or a woman who dresses like a man, brought before a judge, without a jury, $150,000 fine. Now that's tolerance in reverse. We don't have to tolerate cross-dressers. I would argue that we don't have the right to refuse a cross-dresser a job, but not when he comes to the job as a cross-dresser. Do you follow me? And so what I'm wanting to talk to you about today is tolerance. They are allowed, when they have a lifestyle or an idea, they are allowed to go out here and get a job. But that doesn't mean that they ought to be able to do that while stepping all over you and your convictions. My liberty begins where your nose begins, or rather, my liberty ends where your nose begins. I can swing all I want to, but when I come in contact with your nose, then that is a violation. My liberty ends where your nose begins. And the same is true of people who choose to do things that are against nature, whether it is homosexual or whether or not it's even in the area of a boy and a girl living together unmarried. Now, you can't refuse to rent to a boy and girl living together unmarried. You better not. or you will get in serious trouble because you can't refuse. If you've got an apartment for rent, you cannot say, you can't live here, you're not married. But you see, that may be illegal, but that doesn't make that right. There are many things that are illegal that are not wrong in themselves. Now, when I attack some person with a different religion and different concepts and different ideas, physically attack his person, that's wrong. But I may verbally attack their idea or their concept without attacking the person himself. To attack an idea or a concept is allowed. But I'm still being tolerant. But you can't attack that person's person. Because again, I tell you, I am not my idea, and you are not your idea. That means I can love a person with an idea different than mine and a concept different than mine. I can love the person, but I can absolutely assault his idea and his concept. It's not intolerant for me to say global warming is a bunch of baloney. But it's not intolerant for you to say, George, global warming is a fact. That's not intolerant. But if we begin to hit one another, then we're being intolerant, because then we're hitting the person and we're not attacking the idea, we are attacking the man's person. So as I said, we can affirm a person's humanity, his right to believe something, but it is nothing intolerant to say, I don't believe that. That's a bunch of baloney, and here's why it's a bunch of baloney. And so you must separate intolerance into two categories. Are you intolerant of the man, or are you intolerant of his idea? And there's nothing wrong with being intolerant of a person's idea. Now, I said that to say this. I'm answering the question in this sermon. Was the Lord and his son, Jesus, are they intolerant? In other words, people say, well, the Lord's not intolerant. The Lord was very tolerant. You remember what John 3:16 says? John 3:16 and 17 are the most inclusive scriptures. For God so loved the world, that's everybody in the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, how can you be more inclusive than whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? For God sent not his son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I mean, those two verses are inclusive. He wants to save everybody. But listen to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That word condemned is the word judged. So let's read it that way. He that believeth on him is not judged, but he that believeth not is judged already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now that is exclusive. The whosoever is inclusive. Anybody can be saved. But who will not believe in him is exclusive. They are condemned, they are judged already. How much more exclusive can you get than this? John chapter 8 and verse 24. You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. The word he's in italics because the word he's not there. If you don't believe that I am, Moses who said, Lord, who shall I say sent me? He said, say I am sent you. Jesus says, if you don't believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. That's exclusive. That says, like he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's exclusive. That makes Christianity an elite religion. That sounds intolerant. That says that the Buddhist and the Hindu and the Muslim and the Shintoist and whatever religion that does not believe that Jesus is God, that says the Jehovah Witness is still in his sins. Christianity itself is an exclusive religion. And intolerance is not to say that there's no exclusiveness to religion. Intolerance would be to take someone and refuse to let him have a job or to live or to come to church or bar someone from doing what is not immoral. See, you can affirm their personhood, but you do not necessarily, when you affirm their personhood, mean that you agree and accept and tolerate and will celebrate all of their ideas. So what I'm trying to say is, this world today that you and I live in, and the reason this message is relevant, is the world is trying to say that we are intolerant and that we ought to be more like Jesus. So let's answer that proposition. Is the Lord God and His Son tolerant? Now obviously Jesus is not disrespectful and He's not bigoted and He's not prejudiced. I mean, look at Him walking into the temple, kneading some cords together, and literally driving men and animals, overturning the tables, setting the animals out of their cages, setting the birds free, and driving them out of the temple and saying, "My house is supposed to be a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves." What would we call someone that did that today? Well, we'd call them intolerant. We would say that was absolutely not tolerant. But there was nothing intolerant in that. And what did he base his doing that on? He based that doing that on, "It is written." He based what he did on the fact of what God said. So, the purpose of this message is to get you to see that God Himself is exclusive and sometimes intolerant. When the woman was caught in adultery and was brought to Jesus, and she'd been caught right in the very act, and I noticed they didn't bring the man, but they brought the woman, and they wanted Jesus to say, "The law of Moses requires that she be stoned, but the law required that the witnesses stone her." And he wasn't a witness. And he wanted to say, "Stone her." Which at that time, they were under Roman rule, and they had forfeited their right to take life. That's why they brought Jesus to the Romans to put Jesus to death, is they had lost their power to take life. And so they thought they had Jesus trapped. And he said, "Where's your judges?" In other words, where's your condemners? Where's your judges? And she told him there wasn't any. And he said, "Neither do I condemn, neither do I judge you." He couldn't have. He wasn't a witness. But what did he say? "Go your way." Is that what he said? "Go and sin no more." He called what she did sin. And he let her go, because he was not a witness, and he knew it was a setup in the first place. And so it's very important to understand that he did let her go, but he said, "Let her go." And he said, she can go, but sin no more. Did he tolerate her sin? No, he didn't. Could he have put her to death? No, he couldn't. He wasn't a witness. And so to use that verse and not quote all of it misrepresents Jesus. Jesus was tolerant, and he did not condemn her, but he did tell her to stop sinning. And tolerance says, stop sinning. You're still tolerant when you tell people to stop sinning. It's specifically going to judge us in the end. Listen to what Romans 2 says. I like this passage. Romans chapter 2, verse 6 says that God's going to judge who will rend every man according to his deeds. Now listen to this. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. That's what the person who is righteous is going to have. He's going to have glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath and tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. To the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace is to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there's no respect of persons with God. Intolerance is when you have respect to persons. But he says the man who's doing right, he's going to receive good. The man who's doing evil, he's going to receive bad. And it doesn't based upon your race of whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. God's no respecter of persons. He's going to judge them the same. So Jesus and the Father are going to judge, and they're going to be someone who does not tolerate people coming into their glory and into their honor, into everlasting life, who are unrighteous men. So if that's intolerant, then Jesus and God are intolerant. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20, when Jesus spoke to each one of the churches, listen to what he says in Revelation 2:20. He says here, notwithstanding, he says to this one church, I have a few things against you because you tolerate. That's what your new translations say. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach, that's number one, and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. And I'm going to cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I got something against you. You tolerate this woman Jezebel, who professes to be a prophetess, and tells people that they ought to commit fornication. It's all right to eat meat sacrificed to an idol. I'm going to destroy her if she don't repent. That doesn't sound very tolerant. That doesn't sound like he doesn't ever confront people with their sin. See, it's not intolerant to tell people that's wrong. You can't do that. Jesus also said, you'll remember this, in Luke chapter 13, 1 through 5, except you repent, you'll perish. Now, Jesus was tolerant. But he said, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. So I deduct from that, that when you're tolerant, you can warn people and tell them, hey, if you don't stop that, you're going to perish. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul, writing by inspiration of the Scripture, says this in chapter 5. He says, I wrote unto you an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with covetous or extortioners and idolaters, for then you'd have to go out of the world. I told you, don't run around with fornicators and extortioners and covetous people and idolaters. Don't run around with them. But I have now written unto you not to keep company if any man is called a brother, be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do you not judge them that are within? But them that are without, God's going to judge them, he says. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. See, God says, now, Paul wrote him a letter and said they're not the company of fornicators, and they understood that meant, well, you couldn't be with anybody that committed fornication. He said, if you did that, you'd have to go out of the world. But Paul says, what I'm saying is if a person professes to be a Christian, they say they're a believer, and they're fornicators, or covetous and extortioners and idolaters, he says, then put that wicked person from among your midst. Does that sound like tolerance? Well, the world would say that's intolerant. But that's not intolerance. That's what God has commanded. And he's commanded us to practice church discipline. Because Christianity is an exclusive religion, and Jesus is the king of his church, the head of his church, and he says, now here's my church, and here's what I want you to do with people who profess to be my followers, who are living like that, get them out of your church. I'll take care of judging those that are without. You judge those that are within. And you put away from your among yourselves that wicked person. Now, language can't be plainer than that. You'd have to have professional help to misunderstand it. But there's a lot of people that'll sure give you the professional help. That is not intolerant. That's following the commands. That's following the Christian religion. The Christian religion says, no. Imagine, if you would, there's this great big heavy truck. My son Todd drives a truck, and he's got a great big heavy load on it, and I'm so ignorant, I don't know how much things weigh. But Todd comes up to a bridge, and that bridge sign says right on there, load must not exceed so many thousands of pounds. And they got a guy there guarding this bridge. Now that bridge has a tolerance level. And if someone lets Todd go over that bridge unhindered, without rebuke, without warning, and he lets him go over that bridge and his load is larger than the bridge can tolerate, he doesn't care for my son if he lets him go over it. If he doesn't rebuke him, say, hey, you can't go over that, your load's too big. Nor is he thinking of other people who later on will want to use that bridge. If it exceeds the tolerance level of that bridge, he must not be allowed to go over that bridge with that big load. Now in the church, the Lord has said, I will not tolerate believers in me who profess to be Christians. My tolerance level is that if a man's a believer, he cannot live in fornication. He cannot do these things that are mentioned. Covetous, idolater, a blasphemer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one, don't even eat with them. Don't even eat with them. Now, as I said, you have to have professional help to misunderstand that. But that's not intolerance. That's obedience to the head of the church. And as I said, he's told us you either repent or you perish. Jesus says there's a straight road that leads to life, and there's a narrow road, rather, that leads to life, and there is a wide road that leads to destruction. Christianity is a very, very, very exclusive religion. So I want you to learn this. You must not fall for the lie that to be tolerant, you must be silent. Just because you're silent doesn't mean you're tolerant. And just because you're not silent does not mean that you're intolerant. Who usually gets called intolerant is the person that's trying to get people to do what's right. And I'm telling you the truth, tolerance is not silence. Someone says silence is golden. Yeah, and sometimes it's right down the yellow. And the truth of it is being silent is not being tolerant. The Christian man speaks up and says, don't go over that bridge. Tolerance is not practicing political correctness. There's nothing more intolerant than political correctness. In fact, our whole nation has been blackmailed into being silent. You can't say anything about that. You can't do anything about that. You can't prohibit that. You, if you stand up and holler about what went on in California, whenever the school teachers out there had the kids play like they were Muslims for a week in the public school, and they dressed like them, and they ate like them, and you say anything about those kids being forced in the public school to dress and act and eat and talk like Muslims for 1 week, if you say anything about that, well, you're intolerant. You ought to tolerate other people's religion. Try to teach them Christian things for a week in the public school. See how much tolerance they have. I'm simply saying to you, because someone calls you intolerant does not make you intolerant. And the people that usually cry foul are the very ones that are foul themselves. Feminism, affirmative action, gay rights, global warming, evolution are the worst offenders at being intolerant. In fact, it's prejudiced reversed. It's prejudice turned inside out. Have you ever read in the paper where we tried to stop some college from being atheistic? Has Christians ever said, we don't want them to build a college here because the professors and administrations are atheists and we don't want them to have a college here? I've never heard of it. But when they tried to put the Creation Museum in Cincinnati, they were forbidden. And they went across the river to Kentucky and they tried to forbid it there. And they're still trying to shut down that Creation Museum. Now that's intolerance, because they don't want the idea of creationism taught. The public school system has been intolerant of teaching, I'm not talking about teaching theism, but I'm talking about that there is a creator, the idea that there is a creation. Intelligent design, thank you. They don't even want intelligent design in the public school system. But they can teach the opposite. Did you know that humanism has been declared a religion by the Supreme Court of the United States? And you can't teach religion in the school. But humanism is taught in the public school. Therefore, since humanism, by their own definition, is a religion, to teach humanism in the public school is to teach religion. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold and make you believe that to be tolerant, you must be silent. To be tolerant, you must use political correctness. Daniel Taylor wrote, tolerance is a much used term, but little understood in the culture debate. It is used in discussions about the diverse, the inclusive, and the multicultural. It's one of the strongest words in English. To be branded intolerant makes a person unclean. It was once used for racists, religious bigots. But the meaning of the word has changed. It's a tool in the culture war and is applied to anyone who questions the changes in public and private morality. Generally, it's applied to moral conservatives who contend that notions of right and wrong should have public support and are fundamental to our society. Specifically, it's a charge against theologically conservative Christians. That's what Mr. Taylor says, and he's right. Political correctness is destroying this country. When you cannot use words to describe something, this is morally wrong. Words are words. And if you have feelings that something is wrong, you have every right to say them. That's what the Constitution means when it talks about freedom of speech. If I don't like something you say, or you don't like something I say, you have the right to say, that's wrong. Now I gotta love you. And you gotta love me. But we have the right to say that someone is wrong. And we shouldn't have to worry about what words we use to say that. One time when I was, first year I was married, I walked into a store that was black. And I was already in the back of the store, and a black man came into the building, and he wasn't used to seeing white people in that section of town. And he came in, and he shouted out as soon as he came to the door, "I smell a honky in here." And the guy behind the counter was going, and I could see him, but he didn't know that I could see him. And the black man came on in, and I stepped around the edge of the thing where he could see me. When he saw me, he begins, "I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I said, "That's all right. I don't care if you call me a honky." And I said, "You think we smell different?" And I said, "Well, maybe we do. But you didn't say I stunk. And you didn't say you smell better than me. You just called me honky. And I don't take any offense of that at all. Maybe I do smell different. But since you didn't say I stink and you didn't say that you smell better than me, I don't take no offense at that at all." He said, "You're all right." Now, if he wants to call me a honky, I don't care if he calls me a honky. Not a thing wrong with calling me a honky. That's what he grew up using that term, and he didn't necessarily even mean any offense by it. But today, if that man said that, people would get all bent out of shape, call him a racist, call him a whole bunch of different names, and that would be wrong. Intolerance means that you attacked the man. If he'd come and hit me in the nose because I was a honky, that would have been wrong. That would have been intolerant. Or if he'd said, "You get yourself out of this store and you get yourself out of this part of town, you go on over to the white part of town." That would have been intolerance. That would be wrong. But to call me by a name was not in itself intolerance. See, tolerance has evolved into a vice rather than a virtue. When you're so tolerant you don't speak up, when you're so tolerant that you will not say, "That's wrong," when you're so tolerant that you say, "All right, I'll go ahead and hire the cross-dresser," that's wrong. A tolerant person is going to insist that the man conform to what society has always considered moral and right. And you have scripture which certainly teaches you that a man should not dress like a woman and a woman should not dress like a man. So what I'm saying to you in this sermon is, what people consider intolerance, Jesus did. And Jesus said. And Jesus was exclusive. Let me quickly go on. Tolerance must speak up. In other words, you can still be tolerant and speak up. You can be tolerant, but you can be so tolerant you just sit and watch this nation fall. Tolerance believes in nothing, says nothing, warns nothing. It laughs at the idea of judgment to come. It mocks absolutes. Its silence is deafening. It makes men blind so that the next generation doesn't know what's true and false. It speaks lies and flatters and approves what's evil. It makes you think that's okay. Look what the gays have done to the big industries. They've gone to McDonald's. I believe they blackmailed them. And this week, McDonald's has announced that they will cast their fortune to support the gay agenda. They did it to Ford until it was so boycotted, it about went under. And now General Motors has announced that they're going to support the gay agenda. I say it's not intolerant to write them a letter or to call like I did McDonald's this week and said, I've eaten my last Big Mac. That's not intolerance. They're the ones intolerant that would allow 2% of the population of the United States to control the 98% of the United States. What is tolerance then? Well, true tolerance is the Good Samaritan helping a Jew that's about to die. Now that's tolerance. Tolerance is Barnabas forgiving Paul for persecuting the church and welcoming him into the church when he repented. True tolerance touches a blind man's eyes. It touches an outcast leper. It rebukes hard-hearted men who are sitting waiting to watch whether you were going to heal on the Sabbath day or not. And this guy's got a withered arm, and they're sitting there like vultures waiting to see if Jesus would heal him on the Sabbath day. They're the intolerant ones. You're going to break our Sabbath. They were intolerant when they saw the disciples taking some grain in the field on the Sabbath and going like this in their hand, blowing away the chaff, and then eating the kernels of wheat there. That's intolerance. True tolerance lets an immoral woman wash Jesus' feet, wipe his feet with the hairs of her head. True tolerance seeks to convert that Samaritan woman that had had five husbands and was living in an ungodly relationship at the time and tries to convert her from that lifestyle. True tolerance makes people eventually end up saying, he's a friend of publicans and sinners. See, he didn't violate their person, but he taught them what was right and what was wrong. He spoke against evil. In fact, true tolerance will cause you to be rebuked for intolerance, probably. Have you ever wondered why Jesus healed so many people on Wednesday? How many people did Jesus heal on Wednesday? I don't know. But I know he healed and had 7 to 10 confrontations for healing on the Sabbath day. Jesus went out of his way, to tread all over those people's attitude about the Sabbath. He healed on the Sabbath on purpose. He was in their face, healing people and doing good upon the Sabbath day. He even caused the confrontation. And people would say, that's intolerant. But I don't know how many Jesus healed on Wednesday. The Bible didn't say he healed anybody on Wednesday. But why does the Bible keep saying that he healed on the Sabbath day? Because he was in their face, confronting their Phariseeism and their self-righteousness. And I'm telling you, tolerant people sometimes get right in people's face to expose the evil. He rebuked the intolerant who condemned his disciples for eating corn on the Sabbath day. True tolerance is not always considered tolerance. But I'm telling you the truth, they even sometimes think when we're tolerant that we're being intolerant. George, you're intolerant. Well, I got a good excuse for that. I can't help it. I was born again that way. And it's genetic. God's seed is in me. That's why I'm called intolerant. God's seed is in me. And I can't help it. I've been born again that way. So what's this sermon all about? It's to show you that those who they say that Jesus and God are intolerant, we ought to be like Jesus. I agree. We ought to be like Jesus. And we ought to speak up. We ought to warn. We ought to condemn. We ought to say, you do err and do not know the Scripture nor the power of God. And sometimes we even rub it in, like Jesus did on the Sabbath day. I want you to follow Jesus. But I want you to remember this. If they hated him, he told you, if they hate me, they'll hate you. And all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I want you to be truly tolerant. Celebrate what a man is, does, and says that's right. Affirm him. But you have no obligation to affirm a homosexual or a cross-dresser or a pornographer any more than you have to affirm a pedophile or a sadist or a masochist. Those things are wrong. And you ought to say so. Let's pray. Father, help us to be like your son Jesus. Help us to be people who are not afraid to speak up. Even if our brothers say, don't speak up. All the disciples came to Jesus and said, do you know what you said offended them? Help us to be like Jesus and not care. Help us to say what's right, to preach truth. So much so that after he had even done favors and fed 5,000 people, shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Help us to realize what truth is, that truth comes from the Lord Jesus. So help us to imitate him in his words and in his actions. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you're not a Christian today, you have this opportunity to obey the gospel by repenting and being baptized, and because you have faith in him, and you can absolutely be pleasing to the Lord. Just don't put your hand to the plow and turn back, because those who put their hands to the plow and they turn back, Jesus says they're not fit for the kingdom of God, as we stand and sing.